Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 17 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I've entitled this evening's message, Be Ready to Preach. Amen. Be ready to preach. You see, Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. And this was an enemy to the church. The church at that time was called the Way. And his only agenda was to destroy the church. He didn't realize that God had raised up born-again believers. It started on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And so from that moment on, persecution grew, but yet salvation was growing left and right. You know, there's more salvation that takes place when there's persecution. Mm-hmm. And they were persecuted, and it was growing. The church was growing leaps and bounds. Matter of fact, the first day, 3,000 souls got saved. Yeah. On the day of Pentecost. So we're going to see in these next few verses here how Paul, when he became Paul, he had such a strong desire to go to Rome. He wrote about being there. He encouraged the saints because the churches were established in Rome before he got there. But one of the things that I love about Paul is he was the great encourager. He encouraged the churches. He always mentioned of certain disciples that would come alongside him, and he would mention them by name. One female was, her name was Phoebe, and she was an awesome saint of God. And there are many other characters that we're going to cover as we go through the book of Romans. But are you there? Romans 1, 12 through 17. And let's read. And it reads, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Verse 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach. Say that with me. Ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And I love this statement. I use this every now and then in my sermons. For I am not, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen? Amen.
Right.
So let's go back to verse 12 and let's read that again. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and who? And me. And so it was once again his desire, Paul's desire to go to Rome. And Paul prayed for the chance to visit the Christians throughout that whole entire region. For what? To encourage them and to also bring gifts. See, he had a lot of spiritual gifts that he wanted to impart upon them. You see, you just are not born again with gifts. Sometimes they need to be imparted upon you. Can I get an amen? I remember when I was at North Park, Bishop Trout imparted upon me. I'm talking about not Joel, his father, Raymond.
Right.
He imparted something in me that has never gone away. And that was a desire to win souls.
Hallelujah.
It was an impartation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And he would always tell me, God has made you now a fisherman. Hallelujah. Of men. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so he wanted to go, Paul, to Rome to impart gifts and to encourage others in the faith. And as God's missionary, he could help them understand the meaning of the good news. What is the good news? Do you understand what the good news is? That Jesus Christ has come to this world, who died and rose again, and has sent the Holy Spirit now to save us eternally. That's the good news, that we don't have to die no more and be dropped into a place called hell. And that place is still real. Can I get amen? Hell's a real place. Jesus talks about hell more than he does heaven. But the good news is that Jesus came to save us from that horrible place. Hallelujah. And you need to be encouraged when you come to church or a Bible study like this, and you look around. You look around at all the souls that are here and those that you know that God has saved.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. You're here because he saved you.
Right.
Not because you weren't invited. We're here because we're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. And as God's devoted people, they can often fellowship and be comforted by him. Paul makes it clear that he will not come as simply the teacher and giver. He will come to be the encouraging vessel. Let me just say this. How many times do you need to be encouraged? Come on. Listen. When my wife encourages me, it's such, you know, I don't take that for granted. It's to strengthen me. And whoever is encouraging you, man, I'm telling you to embrace it. Because a lot of people won't say nothing to you. But those who come alongside you to encourage you, man, that is finer than gold. It's more precious than gold. And this was the mind of Paul. To be the encourager. Praise God. And so our mutual faith gives us common language and common purpose for blessing one another. Did you know that? Our natural life and our spiritual life should be a blessing to other people. Are you blessing other souls? Are you encouraging them? Because if God is living inside, then it'll just flow without you trying to work for that. It'll just come naturally, and it'll be a joy to serve one another. Amen?
Amen?
And I was encouraged tonight when you guys laid hands on me.
Amen.
Praise God. I was encouraged. Praise God. It was refreshing when the Spirit of God touches you. You know what that signifies to me? That it was not in vain. That there was purpose that you were here tonight to lay hands on me.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's move on now to verse 13 of Romans chapter 1. And it reads, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, also just as among the other Gentiles." Praise God. And so, who was the number one culprit that would hinder him? Satan. Satan, the devil, would always hinder. But listen, we read, and we're going to see a little further down, but also it's mentioned in Corinthians how Paul had to endure physical beatings. He was robbed. He was mugged. He was thrown out of a second-story floor. He was bitten by a rattlesnake, left to die. His own countrymen almost killed him. He was beaten with steel rods 42 times. Bam! Bam! Man, that would have broke your legs. Yeah, and he was mocked and ridiculed. And yet, he would get up from that. He would recover. God would just supernaturally anoint him, and then he was like the energizing bunny.
Amen.
He just kept going. He kept following his call. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, the enemy will try to prevent you from your call.
Yep.
But God is greater. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God is greater.
Yes.
And so you need to rely on God. Say, God, hallelujah, don't allow the enemy to hinder me. Because Paul mentions it. He was hindered until now.
That's right.
That I may have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. And so saints has noted, Paul had tried to come to Rome, but he was prevented. And so many, even his own countrymen, tried to prevent him. Paul's original plan was to include Rome in his missionary efforts. Praise God. But you know what? On the way to Rome, he visited beautiful cities. Just imagine, some of them he had to travel by foot. Some by sea. There was nothing in air. He couldn't just jump on a couple eagles, and let alone maybe camels. But he went around that whole Asia Minor region to preach the gospel. And although the church had been established there without his efforts, but he still had a desire to go there to say praise the Lord with the saints. Praise God. What a blessing, isn't it? Did you know that there's saints all over the place? What do I mean by saints? I mean born-again Christians that love the Lord. They're everywhere. You ever go to a grocery store and all of a sudden you ran into someone that loves the Lord like you? Man, you can't stop talking about the Lord. It's like automatic. It's that koinonia spirit. Praise God. Praise God. And so his purpose, though, I want you to hear this clearly. Paul's purpose was he was sent to the Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord.
Who are the Gentiles? Us.
Thank
us.
Thank you, Lord.
He was Hebrew of all Hebrews. This guy was the attorney of the day. This guy was the rabbi. He was from the line of Benjamin. He was from the tribe of Judah. This guy had it all together, and yet God humbled him. And he counted all that, all his accolades, all his statues, and all the things that he would glorify himself in. He counted it all as dung. And you know what dung is? In the King James, manure. He counted it as dung. He goes, you can have all that. He goes, I just want Christ and him crucified.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. That's all he wanted now. He just wanted Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So let's move on now to verse 14. And it says of Romans chapter 1, I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. Why does he say that? Why does he say that? Even to the unwise. You know why? Because he felt during the time he was Saul of Tarsus, he would persecute everyone in every way imaginable. Whether they were in the way of his ungodly agenda or not, he's saying, you know what? I need to be a debtor, meaning I owe these people more than just an apology. I owe down my life to preach the gospel. Just imagine families that he tortured. How about the ones that he had them thrown into the arenas where the gladiators were, and they were killed and they were fed to the lions. He was the original drive-by, the house invasion guy. Just roll up to your pad and bust down your door and apprehend you, and then they would burn you.
Mercy.
So you can see in his writings right here that he says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks, to barbarians. Barbarians were worse than a Gentile. They were pagans. Outcasts, yeah. lower than the lowly. He goes, but I'm a debtor to them too. You know why? You know why he said? Because they need Jesus too.
That's right. That's why he did it. Yep. All of them.
They need Jesus too. Praise God. And so Paul's obligation was to proclaim Christ's salvation to all types of people in different cultures. And he would be crossing cultures and social injustice. He would go through every racial, every ethnicity you could think of. He went to those areas to preach the gospel. He just didn't go to the Jews. They knew his language. Praise God. And that, listen, that's kind of what God has called us. How many of you know many different ethnicities?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I believe even in our church on Sunday, we're all multi.
Yeah. That's right.
All multinationals in here, nationalities. We got a little bit of everything, don't we? And guess what? That's what heaven's supposed to look like.
Right.
But when you go down in the south, it's not like that. It's all one color here and one color there. Some folks are going to give an account. But hey, praise God. We're a melting pot over here. It's whosoever. Can I get an amen? Whosoever. The educated and the uneducated refer to the classes in Rome versus the peoples of other uncivilized places, like where the barbarians were. Yet, he went there. Praise God. Look what it says. I found this in 2 Timothy. Let's go there right now. In 2 Timothy 4. Look at this. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So what is he saying? What was the topic of my message this evening? Preach. Be ready to preach, right? So he told Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When you don't feel like it, preach. When you feel like it, preach. When you feel like you're uncomfortable, preach. Listen, there are times when God says, you need to share it with this person, no matter where you're at. Can I get an amen? That's what in season and out of season means. Preach the word. Don't open, just open this right here that he's given you and just share it. Can I get an
amen?
And then he says what? To convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Long-suffering, I love that word. It's a long word for patience. And why did he write this? Because look, it says right here in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's what's taking place today. There's people falling away. Huh? They bought into the line of false doctrine.
Yep, they sure did.
Listen, I've shared this before and I'll say it again tonight. If you hear me up here begging for your money, please don't come back. Because
right.
It's not about that. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
It's about your soul growing.
That's
and embracing what God has done for you. And how can God give me more wisdom and understanding? How can God equip me? For what? Why is God equipping you? To preach the gospel. To preach. And listen, you don't need a megaphone. It doesn't mean you have to be behind a pulpit. Preach the gospel means you just open your mouth and talk and speak and share.
Testify.
That's right. Preach the gospel. Praise God. Look at this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears. Some folks, man, they love to be in places. Just, you know what? I'm coming here because don't talk about my sin. Oh, people love that. Oh, they don't talk about sin over here. We're going to that church. Look at this. Because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the what? From the truth, and be turned aside to fables.
That's right.
Wow. How ironic that we're reading about this and we're seeing things in real time. Huh? In real time, brother. But look at verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. How many believe that God has called you into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Not the ministry of Amazing Grace, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
That's right.
We're called to that. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to the next verse in Romans chapter 1 and now verse 15. So look at this. It says, so as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach. Listen, he wasn't saved that long and he was ready to go. Matter of fact, remember when he was blinded and Ananias laid hands on him? And the scales fell off, and then he baptized him in Jesus' name. The next day, he was preaching in the synagogues. My goodness. Just imagine the anointing that was all over. He was dripping with anointing. Because he had boldness now. And remember, Ananias told the Lord, wait a minute. This is the man that's persecuting, that's killing the church. Are you sure? It was like if God didn't know what God told Ananias. I have chosen this vessel. So just go and do what I told you. And guess what? When we were all misfits of life, he still chose us. Can I get an amen? We weren't worthy. We had nothing to do with it. He says, I want you and you and you and you and you and you. And as soon as you come into the kingdom, I've got something for you to do. Hallelujah. But then he floods your heart with love and joy and peace and goodness and grace and mercy. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. So then when you do the will of God, it's not a task, but an honor. Can I get an amen? It's not a task no more. It's not like a whip on you. You do it because you love him now. Man, I'm so in love with you, God. I just want to share people about who you are and what you've done for me. Hallelujah. Jesus. That's what it needs to always be. What he's done for me, what he's done for you. Hallelujah. He's not asking you to be a scholar overnight. He's just asking you to serve him. Amen. With your whole heart, soul, and mind. And he'll fill your mouth with what you need to say at that point.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so he says, so as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And so before he got to Rome, he was in Corinth, remember? And he wrote to the Corinthian church. This is what he wrote. Look at this. For we do not preach ourselves. Check out what he says here. But Christ the Lord. Praise God. See, there's nothing you and I can boast about this salvation. We all need to stay humble because it is God doing it all in us. Look at this. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus. It's all about for Jesus. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. And we were walking in darkness, thick darkness. Come on, things that we won't even want to share no more. Now, there are things we'll testify, but there's some dark things that you and God know what we've done. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. And it needs to remain right there between you and God. Can I get an amen? Just thank God he delivered you from that. Hallelujah. Look at this. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the face of Jesus Christ. So when he left Corinth on his way to Rome, he also went to Philippi. And so he wrote to the Philippians. Look at this. Look what he wrote there in Philippians 1:12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of what? The gospel. All the things that he went through, all the turmoil, all the persecution, all the trials and tribulation, it was for the gospel. Aren't you so blessed that God didn't put him on a cruise boat and just, yeah, you're going to have a good time, Charlie, get from here to there, all you can eat. Oh, yeah, yeah, all, yeah, you know, your life is going to be so easy for you. Quite contrary. Because remember, Jesus told Ananias, he goes, I have chosen that vessel because he's going to suffer many things for my sake. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. Our walk with Christ is not exempt from suffering. If someone tells you, man, when God saves you, it's going to be like a rose garden every day. Someone's lying to you. Don't go for that lie. Oh, just sow $1,000 and watch God allow you to hit the power. What's it called? Power what? Powerball. Yeah, just sow you $1,000. Man, that's a man. You better, man. That's a lie from the pit. Can I get amen?
Give me that brand new Cadillac.
You know, I'll tell you what I feel bad for though. There's some that say those things, and these little welfare recipients are giving all they got. Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. Look at this right up here in verse 14. And most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains. What? Remember, he was chained up wherever he went. He wrote when he was in Ephesus, when he was in Philippi, he was in chains when he wrote these letters. Look at this. Having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without... David had no fear. He'd gone through it all. The beatings and the scourging. Being chained up to people. Couldn't just get up and go use the restroom like we do here. We used to get up and go. They couldn't. They were confined to one another. They didn't have a sign in the window passing the city ordinance. Just imagine the stench in there. No showers. No running toilets. No running water. And yet, he said it was good for me. It was good for me. So the next time you go through something, remember Paul.
Yes.
Just start opening up your word and say, God, I thank you that I don't have it that bad. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Ain't nobody beating me, slapping me upside my head while my belly hurts. Thank you, God. Thank you for the trials. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. It says, and most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from what? Goodwill. Be careful when you preach. Make sure that your heart's right before God. What do I mean by that? Let's just say you're mad at someone, and you're mad at that unbeliever. You need to repent, or you're going to perish. That's what he meant here. You're preaching out of envy and strife. You're not giving them the hope of glory. You got to give them the hope of glory. You got to tell them why Jesus came and died for you. Nah. Can't be mad at them. Listen, unbelievers are unbelievers. They don't know that they're a goat. They're not a sheep yet. So what do goats do? No. We sheep go blah. You know, no. Goats, man, they just run buck wild. Yeah. And so but this is why we have to really be careful when we preach the gospel. We're preaching it from a sincere heart. that we truly want to see someone get saved and transformed and come into the kingdom of God. But if you're angry at them, it's out of envy and strife. Don't let them be a part of us like that, right? Look at verse 16. The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter of is what? The latter of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. In other words, what Paul is saying, do it out of love. Because you love that person and you want them to be saved like you got saved.
Right.
And you want them to experience joy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, I've seen these slave movies before, like Amistad. I don't know, back in the day there was a movie called Amistad where they went and captured Africans and put them on the slave ships. And I remember the captain says, you're coming to a free country, a free land. And yet, they were all bound up and whipped still. We don't go into the kingdom like that, do we? No. You're to love them into the kingdom. Say, God. I remember when God saved me, the custodian prayed that prayer with me. Joy unspeakable. A time of refreshing came upon me. I couldn't comprehend the joy. And that's what he wants to do with us. Can I get an amen? Paul had already visited some of the most beautiful cities of the world. He visited Athens, Corinth, Ephesus. Yet he carried an unfulfilled desire to minister in one of the most populated, corrupt places on earth. And what place was that? Rome, where he was headed. It was the most corrupt place. Many theologians parallel Rome to the United States because they had a government similar to us. They even had a Senate and a Congress, and they had an army around the world. But what was their demise? What was their demise? What caused Rome to collapse? They became immoral within. Yes. And once they became immoral within, then God allowed armies from around the region to come and invade them to destroy it. Listen, write this down if you're taking notes. Rick Perry, RickPerry, RickPerry.com. Go to RickPerry.com. He's got a small little handbook out. It's called 53 Biblical Reasons Why United States is Mystery Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
Mystery Babylon. Because a lot of your theologians right now, if some of you go to YouTube, you know, they think, oh, the next great revival is coming and God's going to bring prosperity and this and that. And yet, that's not what my Bible says. And remember, read again for yourself Revelation chapter 18 and see if that doesn't parallel us. And so, hold on to your hats, brace yourself, because God is with us. God is with us. Can I get an amen? God is with us. He'll see us through these terrible times that are coming. So let's move on to the next verse. In verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed." Say that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You see, Paul summarized the thrust of this letter and to give the reason behind the missionary zeal, that it was Jesus who died and was crucified and rose again. He was eager to come to Rome and to come alongside his brethren and to preach the gospel. And he was not ashamed of the good news. The moment he got saved, I just shared it. The moment he got saved, he was preaching in the synagogues the next day. Even though the gospel was held in contempt by those who did not believe, even though those who preached it could face humiliation and suffering like no other person, like Paul. Some of them threw the towel. They would just throw the towel and say, I'm done. But not Paul. Praise God. Paul was not intimidated by the intellect of Greece, nor the power of Rome. Paul was not ashamed because he knew from experience that the gospel had the power to save everyone who believes and then to transform their lives. How many believe that? Amen. That God transforms the lives.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And so, one of the things that it basically empowered him is this right up here. He had dunamis power. The Greek word for power is called dunamis. It's the source of our words, which mean dynamite and dynamic. You see, he had the Holy Ghost power in him, and he had what's called dunamis power. And that's what propelled him. That's what kept him going. That's what allowed him to endure. And there are many of you that have that same power tonight. Can I get an amen? It's called dunamis power. Hallelujah. The gospel is powerful because the power of God that resides in us, in you. The good news is the inherent power of God that gives salvation to all who would accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation can only happen when a person believes, though. Can I get amen? You got to believe. Hallelujah. You can't transfer this to no one. They need God for themselves. Can I get amen? This is why Paul said, some plant and some sow, but only what God gives the increase. He's the only one that can give the increase. So put it this way. Some of you have planted many seeds into people's lives. Every now and then, go back and water it.
Amen.
It's already planted. You go back and water it now. Say, hey, have you had some time to think about what I shared with you 5 years ago? What's that? That Jesus died and rose again, and he died for you, and he's coming back again. Don't you remember that? You just have that little conversation with them. So what you're doing, you're watering it, what you've planted. They go, oh, you know, I wasn't thinking about it now that you remind me. And so what you're doing, you're watering it. But only God could now give the increase. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so the Jews were given I want you to hear this. The Jews were given the first invitation because they had been God's special people for more than 2,000 years ago. The invitation to have God to be king over them. It goes back to Genesis. God chose them. I need you to see the parallel here. God chose them back in Genesis, and in this generation, God has chosen you.
Amen.
No differently. See, God makes a sovereign choice. You know what a sovereign choice is? That means he picks and chooses who he wants to pick and choose. It's like this. I share it like this in a simple manner. If my son Anthony was here and my daughter Sophia was here, and I reached into my pocket and I gave my son Anthony $50 and I gave my daughter $100, my son can't say to me, Dad, that's not fair. You gave her $100. How come you only gave me $50? And then I would turn around and says, because I chose to do that. It was my money, not yours. Well, God chooses who he wants to choose. Can I get amen? Well, that's right. And so for more than 2,000 years, God chose Abraham and promised blessings to his descendants. We're in Genesis now in the men's study. And I believe we're in 34, right? But let's go back here for a moment. Let's just remind ourselves. Look at this in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Look at this. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Look what he says here. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Here's the key for all those who hate Israel right now, that are anti-Semitic, in our colleges, everywhere you go. Oh, it's because of the Jews. Look what it says here in verse 3. I will bless those who what? Bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so salvation came through them. Can I get amen? God chose these vagabond people back in the day to come out of Chaldeas and go to a land where I was showing you. And Abraham's wife said, which God on the shelf spoke to you? Because they were idol makers. They made little gods and they put them on shelves. God did not choose them because they deserved to be chosen. I need you to catch this. But because he wanted to show his love and mercy to them, to teach them and prepare them to welcome his Messiah into the world. Did you know that God went back when Jesus died? The Bible says he went down into Sheol before he rose again.
Right?
Who did he set free? All the believers back then. All the believers, all the way back from Abraham, he came to preach to them and he set them free. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Because they were chosen by God. And they honored God. And the Messiah would come through their line. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Look what it also says right here in Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That is God's grace and mercy, isn't it? He chose to bring them out and deliver them. And guess what? None of us knew this. But before God spoke the world into existence, he already knew you, that he was going to bring you out of bondage.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you ever thought for one moment that you would get saved? Go back to the day you gave your heart to Christ. Just go back to that day. I remember it clear as day. When the custodian led me to the Lord. Prior to that, I was walking in total darkness. My mind, God was a million miles away. I had no desire. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, the disciples and Paul, they were faithful Jews. And they recognize in Jesus' most precious gift to the human race. And that was what? Salvation. Look what it says right up here. I found this in Luke right up here. Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. This was a devout man that loved the Lord. And this is why he's mentioned. Did you know that when you got saved, the Bible says that your name was shouted in heaven, across the bow, across all of heaven. Your name was shouted. Because the Bible says, when one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! When we got saved, all of heaven was rejoicing. They were having a party. Hallelujah. For your salvation. Man. And so this man right here, a devout man, his name was Simeon. And God mentions him. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he was and he was special to God, just like you and I are special to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at this next verse I found in the same chapter. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. What? And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Wow. You know, that just showed me right here. Even singlehood works. Huh? Because there was a lot of joy in this woman's heart. Look at this. In verse 38, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow. So God mentions these souls. Why? So that we would never forget how much they meant to the Lord. And we never need to forget how much we are meant to God. You know he loves you unconditionally?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And he doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't try to connive us. He doesn't pull strings. God is real to us.
Yes.
He loves us so much. He'll do anything for us. He's always there when we need him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's an old cliche we always say. He may not be there when you call upon him, but he's always right on time.
Amen.
Praise God. So we're going to break down our last verse. Verse 17. For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise God. The just. How many know what just means? How many of you here tonight can recall what just means? The word justification comes from that, or just comes from justification. But what does that mean? Let me just share what it means. In God, in the Word of God, just means just as if you've never sinned. That's how God now sees you as one of His. Why? Because we are washed in the blood. Because we've been washed in the blood. Because we've been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. So now He looks at us just as if we've never sinned. And so what I love about that verse of scripture is the just shall live by faith. Because now we've been redeemed by God, our life now should walk now in faith. Believe what God has said to you. Believe what God is doing for you. Believe what God is going to do for you. Believe what God is going to translate you from this dark world into this glorious world that's about to take place. Believe God for that.
Amen.
It's not always going to be like this. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And some of us are going to be reunited to our loved ones that have already gone on.
Thank you, Lord.
Just quick little testimony. When Sister Yolanda's father was still alive, he was diagnosed with congested heart failure. And we saw his life slipping away. And he just had strength just to lay in bed. And we saw it. And so I remember we pulled up in front of her mom's house. And I was just going to drop her off because she wanted to go visit her daddy. And I opened the door opened, she got out, and I was about ready to pull out. And then God rolled up on me. His presence came on me so strong. He go, park the car. I heard his voice clear. And he said, I have prepared him now to receive me.
Hallelujah.
Go in the room. Go to his room. So I turned off the car. I walked in there, and I was just so lit up. I go, honey, we got to go. And her, Yolanda's brother was there, Joe. And we all went into his room. And his son was Joe Jr. And Yolanda's father was Joe Orozco. And I came alongside his bed, and I grabbed his hand, and I go, Joe, God sent me back in here right now. He says, you are to cry out to him and receive the Lord Jesus. I go, do you want to receive God right now as your Savior? He would never come to church. He had nothing to do with God. He would always watch his games on either football or whatever the season was. But God said, go. I prepared his heart. So I had to boldly go and say, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he looked at me. He says, yes, I do.
Amen.
Yes, I do. And so he did the whole sinner's prayer with us. And man, then God just lit up the whole room. It was like God lit up the whole room and his presence came in the room. And we were like beside ourselves. We were just jumping up and just up and down. I was hugging his brother. I was hugging my wife. And I was going, he just accepted Jesus. Oh, yeah, and his countenance. You can see his countenance change. And when he died in peace.
Yes.
Amen.
Because he was close to 90 already. 80-something. Late 80s, I believe. And so he was already checking out. But God prepared his heart after all these years. It's never too late. Can I get an amen? It's never too late. Don't give up. Just imagine if I would have just shunned what God was saying to me right there. Because my wheels were already turned and I was already pulling out from the sidewalk to go. And God spoke. And all I just went back and I went in. And when he said, yes, I want Jesus, God confirmed in my spirit. This is what God told me. I prepared his heart. In other words, I wasn't fighting him in there.
That's right.
He was in, you know, he wasn't an old tough guy. No, he goes, yes, I want Jesus.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The message of the good news tells us how we, sinners, how we are. You see, the gospel exposes who we are. But that's the good news. It's not to condemn us. It's to show us that we need a Savior. It's to show us that we have fallen short of the glory of God. It shows us that, oh God, I need you as my Savior because I cannot save myself. It tells how God, who is righteous, can vindicate sinful people. He's the only one that can vindicate us. How many are so blessed to know that?
Amen.
Righteousness is an aspect of God's character. His standard of behavior and a description of all that he wishes to give us is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. How many can't wait for his return? And so, I ask this question. Faith is what? Faith is what? Faith in the fact that Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself, taking the punishment that you and I deserved, and in exchange, making us righteous before a holy God.
Amen.
That's what faith is all, having the faith to believe what he's done for us.
Amen.
And now when he looks down, guess what? All he sees is the blood. Aren't you so blessed that all of our sins, past, present, and even future, he has nailed it to the cross. And he has cast it as far as the east is from the west. He says, I cast those sins so far away from you that I'll never bring them up to your face again. Only God can do that.
That's right. Only God.
Because we could remind each other all day long. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember you. Mm-hmm. And we do that. Yeah. But God doesn't.
Thank you, Lord.
God doesn't. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, by trusting in Christ, our relationship with God is made right both for now and throughout eternity. Can I get an amen? Paul quoted from Habakkuk, and we're going to close with this scripture. Look at this. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that?
Amen.
And so, these last 3 points, look at this, and then we're going to close. Faith is personal trust in God. Faith is the source of believers' new life in Christ. And faith justifies us, saves us, and gives us new life and a new lifestyle. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for the book of Romans. How many are so blessed to know that?
Amen.
And maybe you're watching right now. And this is an opportunity if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to give you that opportunity right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. How many believe that God is a mighty God?
Sure.
And he's able to save? He's able to do things that we cannot do for ourselves. And maybe, just maybe, you're viewing this right now for the first, maybe second time. And you're probably saying to yourself, if God did that for you, can he do that for me? And the answer is yes. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will give you an opportunity, hallelujah, and be saved. Pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.